Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I am the host of The Common Sense Show, and we are the show freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we exist to right the wrongs, call attention to what's going on so you can best prepare. Our priorities are Jesus, family, America, in that order. We make no apologies for those associations. And if anybody finds those offensive, I mean, there's other options you can go to. But we are, I think, well-intentioned, and we look to help better people's lives by spreading information. And one of the pieces of information we're going to spread here in this particular segment is the abject and absolute dumbing down of America. It is disgusting what's going on in our public schools. Now, there are some private charter schools that are taking no crap. No crap. Kids are dressing in uniform. I'm not necessarily on board with that, but the kids are dressing in uniforms. There's standards for homework, there's standards for academic performance, and there's really standards for behavior. And I'm going to illustrate that here in this story. The net effect of what school boards and administrators are forcing teachers to do is contributing to the dumbing down of America. And last night, I went to an annual party with former colleagues of mine that I used to teach high school at many moons ago. These are great people, many of them now retired, some of them near the end of their careers, and they were, almost every one of them, fantastic individuals, cared about kids, were really, really good people, and they're so distressed about what's happening today in our schools. And some of you, if you're not there, you are going to be caught off guard by what I tell you about just how bad it is. When President Trump says, "I want to drain the swamp," my goodness gracious, the swamp is right there in our schools. And let me get to that here. But first, we're brought to you by My Patriot Supply. Now, a lot of people say, "Dave, I've seen the ads before that you've done, and you've had a long affiliation with My Patriot Supply, and they seem to be a good company, but some of the prices are beyond my reach." I get that. So this particular piece here is for those on a limited budget that want to simply add to and add a safety valve. Because if we go into a war, if we have a natural disaster, I mean, the supply chain is going to be the first thing to go, and your food will last about one day in the grocery stores. And that's not an exaggeration. Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Harvey, I mean, showed all that. So you need to be prepared ahead of time. And so what I want to show you here are some things that I think that you really, really want to look at here. Let's take a look at something here. Outdoor meals, 11-pack sampler, okay, 22 servings, beef and mushrooms in a cream, and you get 22 servings for $133. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is absolutely amazing. And if you ever had to bug out and take your stuff with you, would you think you'd have to start a fire? Probably. Okay, look at what you get here. This is amazing. Fire starters. And you look at all of these great products here. And I'm going to click off of this now and go back to the main page. Let me show you a little higher end volume here. But this is really interesting, too. Look at this mac and cheese pack. Okay, six pouches, 24 servings, $17.95. $17.95. Worried about nuclear war and need potassium iodide, anti-radiation tablets? Look at that. 130 milligrams, 180 of them, three pack, under $60. You go and buy that, you know, out of a survival store, you're going to pay three times that price. This is absolutely phenomenal here. And I look at this and I go, man, this is absolutely incredible. But these are some really, really inexpensive values. Now, if you're looking for higher end here, okay, if you order $200, like 1 month supply, you're going to get $25 off. $500 for the 90 day, you're going to get $75 off. There's something for everybody here, and you need to add to your pantry. Absolutely need to add to your pantry. And I would recommend doing it now while you wish you had done it if it's too late. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. Well, the schools today, a good number of them are contributing to the dumbing down of America. Our test scores are in the toilet. Many states are even doing without state-mandated testing because they don't want the public to know what a crappy job they're doing educating our kids. And teachers are leaving in droves. They can't take it anymore. They want to teach. They want kids to learn. And kids are put in a system where there's no discipline about the phones. Okay? Were you ever bored in school but forced to pay attention and learn something? Okay. But if you had your phone as a distraction, you never have to be bored again. Kids lack patience. They lack discipline. They want instant gratification. And it's the phone and the tablet that have done this. We used to say the average attention span of an American, this is going back about 70, 80 years, was about 20 minutes. And if you were a teacher, you can't really instruct more than 20 minutes. Then you got to do some interactive engagement activities. Then that number got reduced about 20 to 30 years ago to 12 minutes. And that was the distance of time between TV commercials. Today, you're lucky if you can get 3 minutes. And I'm being very serious about this because, well, you see that red light. Oh, we got to see who's contacting us. But it's also the idea that you never have to sit idly and be bored, ever. And this also prevents things like self-reflection, plugging yourself into the material, using your imagination. And most teachers are pretty good at making real-world examples. Problem is, the real-world example for this kid is what's on their phone, unrelated to what's being taught. And the administrators won't enforce it. Because you would have to ban the phones from coming into the classroom with a problem student that abuses the privilege of just carrying the phone. They won't do that. Very few schools will do that. It's a little tap on the finger is your discipline. This is what the people told me last night. I am so glad that I'm out of it. I can't recommend this profession to anybody unless you go to work in a school that says we pride ourselves on student achievement. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But let's also go a little deeper into other things that happen. In the district where I taught for a while, it was a pretty high-achieving district. I mean, we produced judges and psychiatrists and professors, and I still know some of these people, professional athletes who are also good students. Had one kid who played for me, was a four-year starter at Stanford on their basketball team, played professionally, and he was, I think, a 3.8 GPA. Yeah, exactly. We produced kids like that, and they weren't uncommon. Today, that same district has policies like you have no standards for due dates. You can do everything on the last day of the semester, and the teachers are required to grade it and record it and count it without penalty. If you fail a test, you automatically get to do a retake. Do you get to do that in the real world? If you're out there in the workforce and you fail miserably in something that was assigned to you and this falls back on you, your job is in jeopardy. Can you imagine if employers work like this? Oh, that's okay. Go ahead and do it again. What would happen to their profits? And if you had enough of your workforce being that lazy and incompetent and negligent, you'd be out of business pretty quickly. We're not teaching workplace discipline. And I heard this from teacher after teacher after teacher after teacher. And then there were a couple of administrators there. Were friends of mine. A school board member was there that I knew pretty well. And they were shaking their head about how it's declined. And this system is being forced upon them by liberal administrators at the top and school board members, let's say, that have outside interests that are influencing their decision-making. We've seen that in Loudoun County, Virginia, for example. We've seen that loud and clear. But it's not just confined to Loudoun County. It's across the country. Lady told me, she's now retired, and she told me about her grandkids. And this was coming up on COVID, and this district took a really ultra-liberal view. Can't be in school, when many surrounding districts did have their kids in school. And then these kids had all these restrictions when they were let back in that other districts did not have. And so the mom of the kids, my friend's daughter, took the kids out and put them in a private school, a charter school. They had discipline. Let me give you an example of the discipline story she told me. Teacher called the office and says, "Hey, Johnny's got to be removed." Security would come with the administrator, they'd remove the kid. They didn't discuss the offense. They didn't ask the teacher what was wrong. They simply sat the kid down and said, "You're going to stay in here today. And if you ever come back here again, we don't want to hear your excuse. If you ever come back here again, you'll be dismissed from this school." Do you think those kids comply in that school? You're darn right. Well, anyway, the kids, mistake made by the mom, which she corrected, she put them back into the same district. And they started experiencing these newfound liberal policies of dumbing down, no due dates, retesting, lax behavior, can't discipline for phone use, or just total chaos. And the girl starts saying, "I don't have to do my homework tonight. It's not due to the end of the semester." Well, their mom pulled them out of school and put them back in where they had been before, where they were stellar students. This is the contrast. And your task as a parent and an advising parent is to advise those around you and also make sure your kids are in an environment where they are held to account. Now, my son went to one of these schools in this district back when it was normal. And the reason I did that, because there was an inconvenience involved because we had moved. But I knew I could pick my son's teachers, and every one of them was outstanding in what they did. I don't mean good, I mean outstanding. And because I knew the counselors, they granted me the "I want this period with this teacher." And my son got a great education and he shined and graduated with honors from college. You can have that effect by choosing the right school. Now, let me show you something here. Okay, this is a bell curve distribution. And in this bell curve distribution, you've got people that are 50% above the mean. That's the average, and that score would be 100. And then you go out to a significant break in performance. Think of the mean at 100 like a C. When you go to 115, that would be one standard deviation above the norm. That would be a B. If you go the other direction to 85, one standard deviation below the mean, we could loosely and metaphorically categorize that as a D. And then, of course, on an academic scale, 70 would be an F. 70 is mentally challenged on IQ scores. 130 here would be an A, and that's where the gifted starts, and you get the genius and so forth. Okay, now this curve is shifting. America's IQ has dropped, and I did a report on this sometime back. And now, with the school policies, we're even going to see a latent effect that's even going to dramatically drop the IQ scores even more. Let's take a look at what I had to say a couple of years ago.
Okay, we have struck gold. And we still are having trouble pulling up our data set. So let me put you on pause for just a moment, and
We'll come
we
into
will
here
bring
with it.
this back up. I promise.
Here we go.
All right, technical issue aside, thank you for your patience. Why are American IQs dropping so dramatically? Yes, we are becoming dumber. And it is validated and verified. And I'll give you the citations from two universities here in just a moment. But let's take a look at dumbed down population. It's a more easily managed population. So the hypothesis I'm entering this into is, are we becoming dumbed down? Okay, that's the hypothetical question. And we're also going on the known fact that dumbed down, ignorant people are more easily manipulated. More easily going to accept things like smart cities, no travel, three items of clothing a
Yep,
year.
exactly.
Now, we've been through this before. In the Dark Ages, Catholic sermons were given in Latin. So the average person, well, you could go and you could cross yourself three times and Hail Mary, da, 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 da. Okay, you get the idea. Okay, they go through the sacraments. But they didn't understand what the hell was being said because it was in Latin and they weren't educated in Latin, only the privileged people were. Today, the equivalent would be we have withheld technology and we have dumbing down education programs, and AI and smart devices are greatly contributing to our dumbing down. We're going to get into that too. Now, intelligence is measured by IQ score. So I want to teach you a little bit about IQ scores here. And this is where you get to be my psychology student for about 5 minutes. First of all, when we measure IQs and categorize them, are they smart or are they not so smart? Are they genius or are they really mentally challenged? Okay, we do this on a bell curve application. All right, the range of an IQ test is 0 to 200. Now, no one really has a zero IQ unless they're dead. Well, wait a minute. I may have dated one when I was younger, but 0 to 200 is the range. 100 is the average score. That's the mean. The median is 50% above, 50% below is also 100. The mode, the most commonly occurring score in IQ testing, is 100. That's the dead set average IQ. So it's the mean, the median, the mode. If you have any kind of math background, you'll know what I'm talking about. All right, now, between 85 and 115 on IQ scores, 66.67% fall between those two parameters. We call them standard deviations from the norm. Okay, but between 85 and 115, two-thirds of the population fall. So we call that the average range, although 85 IQ is significantly less than 100. And 115 is significantly smarter than 100. Think of it this way. If 100 was a C, a 115 would be a B. Now, this is a rough analogy. If you went the other way, an 85 would be a D. A 70 would be an F. 130 would be an A. And then you have various degrees of A's as we move up. We have gifted, we have genius. Okay, so you get the idea there. Okay, now, 2% of the population are judged to be genius. 2% are mentally challenged. That's what we mean by the bell curve. Okay, now a couple other facts about IQ. IQs are generally fixed by the age of 12, but there's a lot of variability that can happen when you're young. If you're abused, if you were locked in a closet growing up, chained in your basement, like we hear these horror child abuse stories, IQ can be significantly developed, and we go through something called critical stages of learning. And if we don't learn something when we're supposed to learn it, like how to read, how to speak, and so forth, we may not learn it as well, and we may not learn it at all. Critical stages of learning, really, really important. So environment, if you had Einstein and he had an abused background, he wouldn't have been the Einstein that we know and appreciate today from the world of physics. Okay, now, this brings up a fundamental question. If the globalists are manipulating our IQ, which I contend they are, to make us dumber, they're dumbing us down, we have to first answer the question, is IQ a factor of heredity or is it a factor of environment? Well, the answer is both, but there's also a big matter of degree, and we come to a very important conclusion. Now, this is what I used to teach my intro to psych students when I taught that subject. And we talked about intelligence, and I presented this chart from Jensen, who did the Jensen IQ studies. And he looked at different relationships of people, a long-term study, really fascinating study. Identical twins, okay, identical twins are same genes, chromosomes split into two, okay, so one egg goes to two, but they're carbon copies of each other unless there's a birth defect, right? Okay, now, they're reared together. So you have the same genetics, identical twins. You have the same environment reared together. But wait a minute. A perfect correlation is 1.0. 0.7 is where it gets strong. With 0.4, 0.5, you say there's some relationship there, not real strong. Okay? And then you can go to zero, no relationship. And then you can go to negative correlation where one measure goes up, the other goes down. Okay? But correlation doesn't necessarily imply cause and effect. Now you're probably thinking, well, wait a minute, identical twins reared together should be 1.0, perfect, right? Highest you can get in correlation. They're really alike. But do identical twins always have the same experiences? No, they can have different friends, different opportunities. Okay, so that's the 0.87, but it's very high. Now here's what's interesting. identical twins reared apart. So they're split at birth for whatever reason, okay? Grandma Bessie raises one, and Aunt Donovan in another country raises another, and they never meet. But we find them and we test them. University of Minnesota did landmark studies on this, and they found a really high correlation between the intelligence of one twin and another, even when they were raised in completely different environments. That's starting to give you an idea that genetics is very, very important. Now, siblings reared together, that's kind of a control. Brother and sister, their IQs are 0.53 on correlation. They're similar, but not real strong. Now, here's what's interesting too. Unrelated people reared together. Well, you'd expect that number to be zero if it was all genetics, right? Reared together, that's environmental. Now, this is interesting. The 0.23 gives you an environmental-only reading. Now, unrelated is reared apart, 0.05, and you go, Dave, that should be zero. No, because in America, do we not have common information? We listen to a lot of the same music. We watch the same movies. We watch the same misinformation from mainstream media, right? We have a similar culture with cultural attributes that contributes to making our IQs a little bit alike. Not very much, but a little bit. Now, the best case for hereditary influence on IQ is identical twins reared apart, 0.75. The best case in this chart for environmental influence on IQ are unrelated is reared together. So what's the conclusion here? It's pretty obvious. If you compare the 0.7 to the 0.23, it's roughly about a 3-to-1 relationship. So what we know, minus abuse early in life, before the age of 12, we know that heredity is about 3 times more important than environment. But environment is a big contributor. Now, can they affect genetics? Well, depends who you read about the vaccines.
Okay? Yeah. I'm not going to go. And that's true. And there are medications. And there are.
And I do think more research needs to be done. But DNA manipulation could affect
Okay. Now, let me go into, there are certain medications you can take, even certain foods you can take that can bring on dementia. There's research coming out about that now. We know about pro-diabetes and its effect on cognitive decline later in life. So there are factors where it crosses over. But basically what we have is a relationship of 3-to-1. Heredity is 3 times more important than environment. But when your school environment is undisciplined, and discipline is the first building block for learning, you have to be focused in your attention to learn something. You need to be given the opportunity to work with the material related to the real world. Again, that requires more focus and application based on what's been taught. Well, when there's no discipline in the environment and the inmates are running the prison, well, then we're taking that 25% of environmental variability and cutting into it. So let's just say, for example, maybe someone loses 10% of their environmental potential for IQ development because their schools stink in the early parts and developmental parts of their life before the age of 12. Take 10% off an IQ test, and a 100 average IQ kid becomes a 90. And that's a significant drop. If the environment's strong, that 100 IQ kid under normal circumstances might become 110. And I'm just using this as an example, not to be applied in all situations, but when we allow our schools to become bastions of lack of discipline, okay, teaching the woke ideology and not the 3 R's, not testing kids, not holding, you know, testing kids for their standards and what they've learned, this is really disturbing. Now, are all schools that are public on? No, but too many of them are. And when I hear something like there are no standards for makeup, there are no failures that are allowed to happen. You know, I'll tell you, we learn more from our failures than we do from our successes. And that research is really clear on this. So what we have are a lot of schools are bastions of lack of success. Plain and simple. So what do? Back to what I said earlier. Every parent, every grandparent needs to become an instrument of the truth. In other words, find the school where kids are held accountable, reinforce your child's learning, reinforce the discipline coming from the school. You don't allow abuse, but discipline is good. Johnny stayed in from recess because he didn't turn in his spelling homework, and we made him do it then. That's appropriate. That's appropriate. That's perfect. It's not abusive punishment. It's correcting with a purpose. And we don't have that in a lot of our schools. Find the ones that do, so the ones that don't go broke and out of business. The dumbing down of America. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. The people, and I think in particular the farmers, are in full rebellion against the globalists that are imposing their, shall we say, digital will upon the people. And we'll talk about what that means and what's happening. And we have a stunning photo to show you. Stunning. My name is Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. In times of turmoil, currencies go ballistic. They often hyperinflate. Your only protection is gold and silver, and that is your protection. There really is very little else you can do because you can't protect fiat currency from escalating when people begin to print money to quell disturbances with the military or to actually go to war or to maintain martial law, which is really a state of war. So what do you do? Well, you go to Noble Gold, the most reputable gold company out there. In fact, actually, I was interviewing someone yesterday and he said, of all the dealings I do with business people and gold companies and stuff, yours is one of the few, Noble Gold, that never has any complaints. You're right. In all the years I've done this, I've never had a complaint about Noble Gold. Really, really glad to bring this opportunity to you. And by the way, if you have money in the bank, if your retirements, pensions are connected to the bank, they keep it in times of trouble. You may get a bail-in if you're lucky. Oh, you might keep 30, 40, 50% if you're lucky, or you'll lose it all. Because Dodd-Frank 2010 in the United States says that if the banks want to, they can keep your money. You're an unsecured creditor. That's the law. So what do? You get a lot of your money out of the bank. You put it in precious metals that'll escalate as opposed to a fiat currency that'll hyperinflate and depreciate in value tremendously. Remember the old German Weimar Republic? Woman in a scarf, leaving a grocery store. Or going into a grocery store with a wheelbarrow full of cash, she leaves and she has a loaf of bread. You don't want to be in that situation. So what do? You call Noble Gold right now. 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges told you to call. And if you forget the number, just go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. Well, let's talk about this rebellion that's going on, and then we're going to really focus primarily on the UK. We are looking, this is amazing. Canada and Germany are in depression, not a recession, not an economic setback, a full-blown depression. Well, this is when you go from Trudeau to the moron they have in charge now. It's idiot squared. So what do? Well, you don't live in Canada. Why do you think that four provinces in Canada, three and a half actually, half of British Columbia, why do you think they want to join the United States? Well, they're trying to stay one step ahead of the burning bridge, and we are one step ahead of the burning bridge. We are not out of range. But we're just going to focus on this. Canada, Germany, depressed. Well, when countries go into depression, they need war. Just ask Adolf Hitler. Ask Japan. Ask China. You need a war. Keeps things going for a while. Gets you to the next election if there is one. Okay, and there's something else here that's even more present. France and the UK are facing civil war. I don't mean civil unrest. Hear me and hear me clearly. They are facing civil war. Say, Dave, that's a little dramatic. The events are dramatic. We see on a regular basis. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of French people in the streets. They're opposed to the unbridled immigration that has destroyed their economy. They're opposed to government rollbacks of benefits to support this endeavor. They're opposed to increased taxation. And they're opposed to Macron. They hate him. How does he ever stay in power? Well, I'll leave that to your imagination, because there's some people that would rather not have me tell you how that happens. But in the UK, the problem is omnipresent. Now, you had Starmer. If ever there was a modern-day dictator, a budding Adolf, if you will, it's him. If you don't get the digital ID, you will not work. You will not travel. You will not collect any benefits. You will not be able to do banking. You will do nothing. Starmer, he gave that speech. We played part of it. Okay, now, pharma restrictions are crazy. All the nations I just mentioned are facing huge food shortages because of impositions on agricultural practices for various reasons. And the farmers are responding. As we speak, earlier this morning in London, an estimated 2,000 tractors entered the city and besieged the city. And thousands of farmers and thousands more citizens joined them in the streets. The pictures are overwhelming. Yet, hello, crickets chirping on Fox News, crickets chirping on CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, appropriately said. And look at this. Besides the tractors, over one dozen tanks are aligned with the protesters. I'm showing you a picture here. If you're listening on audio only, okay, I'll have to describe it. We're seeing a tank here. The guy's head popped out, smiling. Got a military uniform on. The guy on top of the tank is dressed in military fatigues with a military t-shirt. And you can clearly see it's a tank. And then you see a reporter superimposed on the situation talking about this. This is stunning. This is incredible. You've got aspects of the military joining with the farmer protest in London. And people probably recoil and says, well, Dave might be exaggerating a little bit when he said they're on the verge of civil war. Well, what the heck would you call this? And by the way, I don't want to see civil war. I don't like violence. But I don't like abusive government. I don't like top-down government that does wealth redistribution and impoverishes the middle and lower classes while the donor class of the politicians get rich and they pass that wealth and power on to the politicians. I don't like that either. It's called an oligarchy. We don't need oligarchies. And the people are responding to the oligarchy. And oh, by the way, America, hear me and hear me clearly on this. Your day is coming. You are not far behind on this. It may not be farmer restrictions so much. Oh, but it is, because farmers have lost $140 of buying power per acre. Oh, that's kind of a spoiler alert for something later we're going to do either today or tomorrow on what's happening in farming in the United States. I think more, though, above agriculture, we're going to see a digital enslavement of the people, and this is going to be the reaction. This is clearly going to be the reaction. Wow. Do we live in interesting times or what? This is bigger. Someone said this to me and I sent this out to him, a good friend of mine. I won't bring his name into it. I'll let him talk about it. But I said, what do you think of this? And I sent him a whole bunch of pictures from the streets of London. And he said, it's like the Ottawa truck strike. No, it's not. It's a heck of a lot worse. First of all, you got the military aspect of the participation. It's more voluminous, and the farmers are united. Farmers are united. Truckers, okay, they're important, but we're talking the producers of the food, the first step in the food chain. They're united. And then you got the military alongside of them. And hello, are you seeing this in the American media? And if you are, is it sanitized? This is almost a full-blown rebellion. This is a siege without the gun violence. Pretty interesting stuff, isn't it? I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Train, prep, and pray. Train, prep, and pray. Order of the day. Pray first. I'm Dave Hodges. Thanks for joining us. Who's most responsible for the fentanyl landing on American shores, killing a total of estimated 1 million people? 380,000 deaths in the last 4 years? And most of these people are the warrior class, the future warrior class of America. Young adults, mostly male, who'd comprise a fighting military force. Interesting, isn't it? And at one time, we're totally putting the blame on some countries and presently another country when we're totally ignoring the main source of the fentanyl. And we're here to expose it on the Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host. We're the show, Freeing America, One Enslaved Mind at a Time. And a quick disclaimer before we go on to our break. When you criticize a nation, for example, I've been very critical of the Netanyahu regime. And some people said, oh, you're anti-Semitic. No, no. I'm anti-Netanyahu foreign imperialism with brutal enforcement. And as a Christian, that's what I oppose. The violence, the mass murder. I do not like Netanyahu. I do not like his administration. But I am not anti-Jewish. And I'm sick of the bootstrapping that people do to protect their political interests by hiding behind false claims of racism. And that's just one example. And today, you know, we're moving off of Israel for this particular segment, and we're going to look at another nation. And it doesn't mean I'm against the people or their religion. I'm against the corruption that results in 1 million dead Americans. I hope I made my point clear. And there's never been a time in American history where we got declining standard of living. Okay? We've got increasing health problems in a nation that's the most scientifically advanced in the world, and it's not close. Yet we can't even maintain our standard of living, much less our health standards, our lifespan. You better take matters into your own hands, which is what I did when I got strip lung linings from RSV and I was told, there's no hope. You're a goner. You may as well just give up and accept your fate. Nothing can be done. Scotty Sachs introduced me to the Nanosoma products, this one in particular, the Nanosoma liquid spray. Now, I use this every hour in the hour because it's all natural. Can't harm you. Maintenance dose is 5 sprays once a day. But I was doing that every hour on the hour. And within a week, 2 weeks, I was walking up that flight of stairs that I couldn't get up. I'd avoid going downstairs where I was staying at the time when I was working remotely. And I had a heck of a time getting up the stairs. One step, stop, catch your breath. I was that bad. This brought me back. This saved my life. This defied the medical predictions. It doesn't cure anything, but it raises your immune system where it does incredible things. It's restorative, preventative, and you can get yours by going to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Who's primarily responsible today in 2025 for the fentanyl crisis? Primarily, it's not China, although they've been a major player. It's not Mexico, but the cartels in Mexico have been major players. But they're not primarily responsible today. And it sure as heck is not Venezuela. And you know what? It's disingenuous of this present administration. We're stopping fentanyl from coming into America. They're not even producing and sending 5%. It's a joke. It's a lie. We're there for other reasons, as we have discussed in other publications. So who is the number one nation responsible for the catastrophic effects of what we're going through here in America with regard to fentanyl? Care to guess? Do you hear the tune from Jeopardy playing while you think out your answer? Well, if you wrote down India, you would be correct. Now you go, well, wait a minute, Dave. India is a pretty good ally of ours. We get a lot of engineers from them because we've got shortages. We bring in a lot of people under the HB1 visa program. I hear you. We do. And this is not a knock on the Indian people, but their big pharma is corrupt. It's criminal. It's out of control. And the government there doesn't touch it. They're responsible. And their lack of government oversight is a problem. And yet we fail to recognize it. And some of the people that I've talked to on this problem say we don't recognize it because we've been infiltrated with Indian interests. Now, let me take a sidestep here to provide the precedent. During the Comer oversight hearings during the Biden administration, Congress conclusively proved how the Biden family and close friends were on the take from China, and they had compromised their political decision-making and allowed infiltration of Chinese officials into the American mainstream of power. If we're to believe the House Oversight Committee, and they produced the receipts, unfortunately, no prosecutions ever. Well, let's put it this way. Hunter Biden was convicted, but later pardoned by Daddy Biden after he promised not to do so. But aside from that, there were no convictions, despite overwhelming testimony. Okay, let's get into the penetration that exists inside the U.S. government in favor of the Indian government. And don't get me wrong, I want normalized relations with India. They're a good counter to China. They're a good counter to Putin's nonsense in that region of the world. An alliance with them is necessary and good for our national security. The fact that they practice a totally alien religion to America, for the most part, is irrelevant. They can practice whatever they want. There are some people making a big deal out of this, 150-foot Hindu statue to some Hindu war god. Sorry, I don't know the details, but it's in Chatham County, North Carolina. It costs $10 million. They're raising the money with American funds. And a lot of Christians are having a poop fit over this. Do I like it? No, I don't. We're not a Hindu nation. Do people have the right to practice their religion? Yes, under the First Amendment. How far do we let the glorification go? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, the glorification is not just happening there. I use that as a symbolic example for what's happening directly inside of our own government. Let me go through the officials. And the first one I'm going to mention here, I admire her. She stood up for truth with Charlie Kirk and got shut down by the president and Cash Patel. I admire her. She's courageous. She flipped political parties because she couldn't put up with the corruption in her own party. But one of the primary advocates for India is Tulsi Gabbard, who is a Hindu. I don't care that she's a Hindu. I don't think that should disqualify her from her position. But what I do care about is when she visited India and said they're going to be the center of power in the 21st century, Tulsi, we need to be the power in the 21st century. And Donald Trump's financial plan, I think, is going to help establish that. However, we got Tulsi making that statement celebrating the preeminence and domination above the United States of Indian power. And there's no mistaking what she said. I heard it. It's out there in the public airwaves for you to hear. I shudder to think this, but is she choosing her religion over her patriotism? No, I would make the same decision. Seriously. I'm a Christian before I'm an American. So in one part of me, I can't fault her, but the other part of me, does she serve the American interest with regard to this? And she is the director of national intelligence. Excuse me. I find that disturbing. Now, the next person is not disturbing, and she has no business being in the Trump administration, and I've said it since day one, and she has given me example after example after example why that statement was true. Susie Wiles does not belong in American government in any single form. In fact, she should have to carry a warning on her, kind of like the scarlet letter, okay, T for treason. That's how I view her. She's not about America. You know, I've had concerns about undue Israeli influence on our government, where 89% of our congresspeople are taking AIPAC funds. AIPAC doesn't have to register as a foreign lobby. The only group that gets that so-called privilege, that shouldn't be exist as a privilege. And Congress shouldn't be taking money from foreign interests, period, ever. It should be a felony. You're elected to represent the American people, not Netanyahu foreign policy interests. Yeah, well, she helped Netanyahu campaign in 2023. What the heck is she doing inside the Trump administration? And there's a whole lot more. She's a big pharma advocate. Hello. She has lobbied for Indian pharma interests. They are corrupt, and I do not couch my words here. They are organized crime. They got Sinaloa cartel influence, CJNG, and a whole host of other terrorist groups around the world are taking a piece of the pie out of the corrupt Indian pharma. We get a lot of stuff from them. Oxycodone. Hey, I understand pain management from surgery. I get that. But then you get addicted. Now you need the, yeah, you get the idea, right? Now the fentanyl comes into play. And this is a big description on people who are innocent victims die from fentanyl. And increasingly, that fentanyl is overwhelmingly coming out of India, much more so than China, much more so than the Mexican cartels, although they're part of the Indian operation. And they dwarf Venezuela. It's not close, but we're not blowing Indian boats out of the water now, are we? This is absolutely amazing. But Susie Wiles is at the heart of this. Also involved is former National Security Director Mike Waltz. He's involved in promoting these interests in our country. I call that penetration, people. This is exactly what the Russian, well, they were defectors like Bezmenov. They said, this is what we're going to do to you. This is what we've planned for you. And at the top of the list was infiltration into key positions, which is happening. Increasingly, Indian nationals are being elected or appointed within our government. Let me go through just a few of them here. Jay Bhattachary, born in India. He's the director of NIH. Ranjit Gill, sometimes referred to as Ricky Gill. He's the senior director of Central and South Asian Affairs. Huh? So it would be like the Russians, or you get the idea, Russians being on a committee in Congress deciding how much funding we give to Ukraine. Do you see the conflict of interest here? It's stunning. Then we got Kush Dazar, deputy press secretary of the White House. Sarah Sharma, special assistant to the president with personnel, born in India. Shriram Krishani, Silicon Venture capitalist, White House advisor, the senior White House advisor on AI. And you know my concerns about AI. If you don't believe me, just look on our social media in the previous day. Zhani Shanghai, ambassador to Singapore. Singapore is a strategic country today. So who is he going to represent? Indian interests in that area or American interests? Or is he going to fake American interests to support Indian interests? Well, some of his actions would suggest the latter. And I'm concerned about that. You know, if you put him as an ambassador, say, to Peru, then we wouldn't have to have that concern. The temptation for conflict of interest would not be there, but that's not what's happening. The CEO of IBM, Indian born. Doesn't make him bad, doesn't make him a criminal, but the influence is growing and becoming omnipresent. And we have scores of Indian people coming into our country under HB1 visa. And this administration says they're not taking American jobs. Well, I can tell you about engineer graduates that say something different. And no job should go to a foreigner on a visa when an American wants that job. Otherwise, why do we bother to have an elected government? Let's just go into the United Nations and give up and say, hey, you're in charge. This is, I look at this, let's just keep going through the list here. Tulsi knows the danger. Director of National Intelligence, she knows where the fentanyl is coming from. And yet, we're not hearing those words come out of her mouth. She needs to separate her religion from the politics. Her religion has nothing to do with the big pharma corruption in India. You can be a Hindu and not be corrupt. And she has failed to make that distinction, in my opinion. I guess we come down to this. We need good relations with India. I have no problem with how they want to worship their spirituality. That's their choice. The same as what I do is my choice and your choice. But when it comes into interfering in American governmental decision making for the benefit of a foreign power, and I don't care if it's Germany, I don't care if it's Israel, Canada, or in this case, India, it does not matter to me. It's America first, and there's a reason why we have the saying. And here's what's interesting. Oh, Dave, we can't be that selfish. America first. Well, that's selfish. No, it's not. Because whether there's an earthquake anywhere in the world, who are the first relief workers and supplies on the scene? It's America. When you had the tsunami in Malaysia that killed a quarter of a million people, I didn't see the Chinese helping. I didn't see the Russians helping. I didn't see the Israelis helping. I didn't see the Brazilians helping. It was American troops delivering American supplies at taxpayer expense. And I didn't hear anyone raise a fuss, and nor should anyone have raised a fuss. So don't give me that America first is selfish bullcrap. It's not. We are the most generous nation on the face of the earth. No, we are not perfect, but we are the most generous, and that's a provable statement. It's America first, not India first. Not Israel first, America first. And in this case, this venture coming out of India, unregulated, I think looking the other way intentionally, just like Claudia Sheinbaum and the Mexican cartels, let's look the other way and maybe we get a kickback. Well, that's what's happening in India. And I've had it, and I want our government to take action. Fentanyl is a national security concern, Mr. President. And you can't ignore the safety of Americans because an ally is looking the other way while Americans are dying by the score. Take action now, and I hope a groundswell of people will rise up against this anti-America first, promoting us as America last. I hope that there is a reverse tsunami that sweeps this administration and cleans out the conflict of interest and hold those politicians accountable who are refusing to do anything. And as much as I've admired Tulsi Gabbard, Tulsi, you're in my crosshairs politically speaking. You need to start making declarative statements about where the true fentanyl poisoning is coming from. And Donald Trump, you're not exempt to this either. Would I vote for Donald Trump tomorrow? Yes. But this angers me greatly, and it needs to be corrected. I'm going to end on just a horrible, tragic note. How many of you have known or have experienced in families that you know or your family fentanyl deaths? That should move you to action. That should move you to contacting your government and say, no more. And we need to weed out the conflicts of interest and the people serving those interests in our own government. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show.